I was really struck in this gospel lesson by a couple of things. And too many times I think we read these readings and the different lessons and stuff, and we read them and we're not really truly a part of them. And we don't really hear how it was really being said or the impacts that it was, that it was having when these things was either said, like in Christ is talking, or when the writers are writing, because the context is so far from us. You know, this is the first century, very primitive culture, very basic culture, and you know, we live in the 21st century in a not sure what we'd call our culture. Not primitive, but perhaps more heathen than even they had at that time, it seems sometimes. But the thing that God's been placing on my heart, and that I've more and more, and that is our times. And how do our lessons, how do our readings, and how do we read them? How do they actually apply to us in our times? And sometimes we have to know how it applies to them to know how it applies to us. You know, I found this reading here. Let me just read through it real quick. Starting with verse 12, it says, he's sighing deeply in his spirit, and he said, why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. Leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side. And it says, then it kind of picks up at that, and they had forgotten to take bread, and did not have more than one loaf of bread in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, watch out, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see to understand? Do you have hardened hearts? Having eyes, do not see, and having ears, do not hear? And do you not remember? If you put yourself in their place, that would be kind of pretty embarrassing, wouldn't it? You know, to be called out like that. And then it gets worse, because he reminds them that he had fed 5,000, 7,000, and what had happened. So why were these guys like this? You know, they had been walking with Jesus now for some time. They had seen many miracles. There was fixing to see another one, but yet it seemed like they just didn't get it, and that the least little thing would get them off track so easily. But you know, if we put ourselves into their place, and all, I think that we do the same thing. I think a lot of times we get so sidetracked. And I think sometimes as Christians, particularly kind of as charismatic Christians, we discuss spiritual things that are pretty irrelevant when you get right down to it. I mean, it's like these guys. They've got, you know, there's 13 people in this boat, right? You've got your 12, and you got Jesus. And they have a loaf of bread. Now, it may have been a little bitty loaf of bread. It might not have been the giant loaf. It may have been a small loaf. But they're just going across a lake. And yet they get caught up in this discussion about the bread, about not having bread. Because Jesus, he confronts them with the concept of being leavened. This is funny, because I find myself, I find me in so much of this, He says, watch out, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Well, there was nothing worse than the Pharisees, and there was nothing worse than Herod at that time. You know, and so you had one that was a political thing, and then you had Herod was all political. He was the political guy and all. And he was the guy that kind of ran Israel for the Romans. And then you have the Pharisees, who are the religious guys, who are kind of running Jerusalem for the religious guys. And so Jesus tells them, don't get caught up into that. You know, don't let what they do and what they say affect you and change you. He calls it their leaven. You know, of course, the leaven, a little leaven, leavens the whole. And so it makes them now start talking about the bread. I find myself, I don't know about you, a lot of times the Lord's trying to get something through to me. You know, like, you're letting the Pharisees leaven you. Or you're letting the politics be a leaven to you, to affect you, to affect the way you think, to affect the way you perceive things, the lens that you begin, that you see things out of. You're letting all of these things affect you in a way to how you perceive and see yourself and the world around you to a place that it's not good. And being a good charismatic Christian, I, of course, will always change that subject over to something like, yeah, but how about, I'm starving, how about some bread? You know, like, I spent all my money. I need a little bit of money to come in to pay this bill or that bill. Just changing the subject off of me. And of course, Jesus is always great with the disciples because he always brings it back to what he's trying to get to them. And what he's, you know, talks about is like, you do not have eyes to see? You do not have ears to remember, to hear? Do you not remember all these things that I've done? And all the things that you've seen, and all the things that you've heard. So why do you let this leaven you, change you, and all? And today, that's most. And I mean, this has been going on for months now. I'm sure that it's going to go on quite a while. This is kind of where I'm at. It's the extremely practical thing. It's where the rubber meets the road thing for me, which. For those of y'all that ever knew Meg Truman, she was like a tremendous lady, tremendous prophetic words and stuff. And the first time I ever met her and she prayed for me, she said, oh, wow, you're the guy where the rubber meets the road. And I have found that to be such a very true word, because I can get all spiritual. You know, I like to get spiritual. I like to read. Well, I used to like to read, I guess, maybe. And come up with spiritual things, come up with something new, like that's in the Word of God, you know, like, have you ever thought about it this way, you know, and be real spiritual about it. But God always brings me back, for me, to where the rubber meets the road. And that is, how does that affect today, this moment, this instant in my life? How does it change me? And so most of the time, my deepest prayers, my deepest spiritual prayers are, let me have eyes to see and ears to hear, because I realize that I don't. You know, it's not a very spiritual prayer. Like, I know, like, I'm seeing stuff and hearing stuff. No, it's a desperate prayer, because I realize more and more that I don't get it. I don't really, really, truly get it, because how does it affect my life? How does it push me deeper and deeper into that relationship, intimate relationship of Jesus Christ? It's very easy for us to forget, especially I think in our culture, because we have so much noise that comes at us. This thing, that thing, the other thing, and all of that. If we try to like tone it down, most of us, how do we do that? How do we try to tone all that down? Well, being good Christians, we spiritualize and go buy another book. You know, go listen to another podcast. Or go listen to more music. We keep talking about the bread, basically. When Christ is trying to talk about us with Him and to get us to get it so that we really see Him as who He really, really is at all times. And that we don't have the questioning and stuff. And so that our life is more of a life that's full of peace and joy and love. I love our liturgy, and I'm always struck when I read our liturgy that one of the first things we do is Hear, O Israel. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. And there is nothing greater than that. There is no loaf of bread that deserves your attention more than that does. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.